Today is no ordinary day. I'm going to be having a guest, and this guest is very special to my heart. He is my brother, and actually, I think it will be more challenging than interviewing a normal person because we know each other for a very long time, and I know so many things about him. So, trying to speak to him as a new person today to get to know him more. His name is Saif. Welcome, Saif, to the episode.
Thank you.
Today, I don't know what's... I think I'm going to be starting a new season because I've done 19 episodes from season one. So let's call it season two, episode one, Saif bin Adad. Let's roll in the music. Welcome to the show, Saif.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
Hey, you're more than welcome. A small background about Saif. We know each other for the past 10 or 11 years back in uni days. Disclaimer, he is better than me. So when I tried doing video shooting, he was better than me. With audio, he's better than me. So I'm hoping this episode, you'll be able to help me with the audio remixing or remastering. What do they call it?
Hopefully. Sound engineering.
Sound engineering is the better word. Today also, we have another thing. We're recording video. If you're listening to your usual podcast through your podcast application, you can go to YouTube on Anas Talks. I'm going to be posting the video there. It's a very humble beginning. We are sitting at where usually Saif works, and I have moved my portable studio to here to record it. Anyway, let's start the episode. Saif, how are you feeling today?
Good.
Okay, that's a good start.
I'm feeling honored for being on a podcast for the first time. Oh my God.
Okay, let's start from the beginning because I think there is so much to discuss that we're going to be splitting it into multiple episodes. Obviously, I have a couple of ideas in mind that I wrote them down. Tell us more about your background. What did you study and what was your first experience when you hit the working field?
Okay, to sum it up, I wanted to study finance, but somehow I ended up studying HR. Mm-hmm. I worked with cars, mm-hmm. but I was handling PR.
Okay.
So it's a mix of all of that.
Nice, nice.
This is to sum up my studies and experiences. But at heart, I'm an IT geek. Recently, I've been learning how to do 3D modeling, and I'm a lot into cars. This is to sum
up. Since in the podcast, I try to concentrate on the experiences and the things that we learn. So I'm going to be taking the first experience that Saif have done. So you said you've worked with cars. Now, tell us, before working with Honda, when you were working with cars in the car market, and then when you worked with Honda, as opposed to have quote unquote working in your own business type of a business, or working in a multinational company, international company, for a better use of word.
Okay, so let's say I started working in the used cars market since I was 18 years old, and that was with my uncle. He owns the showroom. And then for about 8 years, I was with him while studying and going to university and all that. From there, I went to work with Honda and Toyota and Lexus. Obviously, it's a huge difference being in a free market, let's say. It wasn't my business, but it felt like it was my business. Mm-hmm. I took care of it as if it was mine. But then going to the corporate world, it was kind of different, learning how to adapt to a corporate environment. The challenges were different as well, managing higher expectations in the corporate world, having performance reviews mm-hmm. at each year's end. But it was more professional, let's say, because mm-hmm. They used to keep tabs and they want to know what you're doing, how you're doing it, and all that. But when I was in the used car market, working with my uncle, there were no, let's say, objectives. It was just sell. A kind of use my own techniques for selling the cars. But then I didn't know how to develop it. I was young. And then when I went to the corporate world, they taught us new stuff, training and all that. I think the challenges there were more, but the benefit of the challenges are even better.
Well, to be honest, this has been always itching my brain, thinking of it as you said. So in a corporate world, definitely there are KPIs. It's more structured, where you need to do things, where in the used market or in your uncle's firm, you are your own boss, you are doing your own things. Now, for you as being the person in the action, did you feel it was more, I wouldn't use the word comfortable, but more clear when you were in a corporate, that you were waking up in the morning, going to the company, going like, okay, there are certain KPIs I need to chase. Or it was more comfortable when you were in the market, where you go like, listen, the whole game is the bigger the number. So the biggest number I can get today of sales or money earned or whatever. So what's your take on it?
I think both give you a different aspect of how you deal with life. Obviously, if, let's say, that showroom was mine, it would have given me a more, more push for me to wake up and actually do a lot of work. But when I was in the corporate world, it was more of knowing what I have to do, waking up, doing something that I love. I think it both gave me a certain way of living and a purpose. So if I wasn't working with cars, it would be different. I would not have wanted to go to work. But because there was the smell of cars in both areas, whether it was in the showroom with my uncle, or if it was at Honda or Toyota or Lexus, the smell of cars is what used to drive me. But then knowing what I had to do at the same time gave me a clearer path and gave me more vision, or it gave me a goal of what I am trying to achieve here. Instead of me just being there and selling cars just for the sake of numbers.
A random question, and I heard this often, especially from people online, where they go like, if you like something, never work in it. Do you agree with it? Because you're going to end up hating it in a sense.
No. If you like what you're doing, there's nothing that beats it. Nothing.
So you agree that you need to work in your passion, or you'll be able to achieve more in your passion.
Imagine doing what you love and getting paid for it. You'll never get sick of that.
Yeah. True. Although I would put a small star that terms and conditions apply, you will still face troubles, you will still face pressure, whether it was financial or not, and we will get to that point later on. The next part I want to get to, so in a total of, let's say, 10 to 12 years where you have worked in this field of the cards in general, you decided to step off from the corporate world. And what happened then?
So the initial thing was I wanted to finish my studies.
Nice.
So that was something more important to me, than having a career without a degree. Because I had to work between. I was going through a hard time. So I had to find a job, and I ended up in a good position in this company. But then I had to actually think about it, because I couldn't study and work at the same time. We couldn't come to an agreement, so I decided to study and finish my bachelor degrees.
Just to clarify for the listeners, it was from both ends. The work was an 8-to-5 that couldn't be flexible, and the university was only 8-to-5 morning classes. Yeah. And it gets way more complicated if you want to go the extra mile, that if you want to change your credits to another university, he's going to be missing years that he worked for and paid for. So that's why there was no other solution but to continue for him to get his degree to continue in that university. It's just a small disclaimer, because I studied in the same university and we all had the same struggles.
I don't think that I regret doing that, even though that I still can't find the right job.
Mm-hmm.
Because I studied what I love. When I used to study before, my major was finance. I didn't know why I took that major. It was just a random choice, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
But then when I went back, it was after the experience of being in a corporate environment.
Mm-hmm.
So I went back to university and I told them that I want to study HR. And mm-hmm. they told me I just have to study 8 more subjects in HR. And I did that. And it passed so quickly because I liked it. Mm-hmm. And my highest marks are in HR. So that was the point where I stopped from work. And
you got your degree and then
I got my degree. Okay. And I'm still looking for a job, let's say, since I finished university. But I couldn't find the right job. So instead of me just waiting for a job, I'm learning a lot of stuff.
Beautifully said. And this is what gets me. I like how you got there without me even guiding you there. So yes, that's I would say point number 3 in the conversation. So you have got your experience on your own with your uncle, then the corporate world, then you have decided to finish your degree, which was honestly a very ballsy move to go like, listen, I'm going to quit my job, which is paying me very good amount. And it's a very respectable, job and so on and so forth. But I want to chase my degree. And then you're like, okay, I'm done with my degree. You started applying left, right, and center. Didn't get a job. So what made you take the decision then to learn the things that you learned? Or what sort of learning curve did you go through? Did you follow a certain method to know what do you like? Because you started the conversation saying you like cars and you worked in cars. So now you're tapping into an unknown field of new things.
I think with me, it started with playing games.
Just like all of us.
I think with me, it was just one more step ahead. I owned a PC since 1996 or 95. I can't remember. Even probably before that. It was only Microsoft DOS. So there wasn't any graphical user interface on my computer.
Yeah.
So probably some of that period affected the way that I used to think. I don't know. Then growing up and being around computers, the rest of my friends, let's say, they were more into consoles.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a different way growing up, being a PC guy in an environment where it's very rare to find someone who likes to use a PC.
PC
for games. Exactly. I was actually shocked when I researched Pentium 2 and saw that it was a cartridge that fits on a motherboard. Like, I remember it. I remember it, but I forgot. So when I went to research and I saw that it is a cartridge, just like a graphic card would fit on a motherboard today.
Yeah.
Processor used to be like that. I remember it, but I just wanted to see it. And then I realized that, oh, yeah, it was a cartridge.
Yeah.
And today the world is so different with the processors. And then it was just the general feel of wanting to know.
Okay.
It was, let's say, 2 major incidents that made me scratch my brain and wanting to do more.
In general or in a certain field?
It's not in general, but because I was always around cars.
Okay.
I have my Nissan Patrol.
Okay.
And I always thought as a teenager that I wanted to turbo my engine.
Okay.
And then the only answer I used to get was, you can't.
Yeah.
Whenever I ask why, everyone says, just because. And that used to piss me off.
Yeah.
When I ask a question, I would like to know why. And if no one can answer why, I will have to dig it up.
Yeah.
And the amount of digging that I had to make to understand why not. And then I actually figured out that you can.
Okay.
They just didn't know how to say that it's not efficient.
Yeah.
It's not that you can't, you can. But it's not efficient. You don't get the, let's say, the law of diminishing returns hit you so hard with turboing this kind of engine.
Yeah.
So there is no use of turboing the car.
So even if you do it in simple English, if you do it, there is no point because...
There is no point because whatever you pay for it, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense.
That was one thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that elevated my level of knowledge because of how much I wanted to know why.
So what fields you had to read in order for you to reach this answer?
Generally, I wasn't actually digging into it at first. Mm. I was watching random videos on physics, theoretical physics.
Okay.
And that got me thinking.
Okay.
And I was like, okay, what is this E equal MC squared?
Yes. I was just about to say it. It's funny how I'm asking you a question and I know the answer.
and then it was like, what is this black hole? How can light not escape this? And it kept on building up.
Why is the Nissan cannot be turbo?
Yeah, exactly. And I was like, I was trying to wrap my head around general theory of relativity.
Mm-hmm.
Which I couldn't. It took me like years to understand it.
Yeah.
And a lot of videos. From there, I started to shave my beard on my own.
Okay.
That was the first skill that I learned. And let's say now after a lot of years, I kind of mastered. Yeah. So the love of doing things on my own and not having someone teaching me, or like, let's say, not finding someone who can teach me made it a challenge for me to keep looking for it on my own.
Nice.
And so then I started working in the corporate environment where you sit there and you're kind of challenged to learn more if you wanted to be good at what you're doing.
Yeah.
From there, I was working in Honda. In Honda, when I used to sit, sometimes when you have nothing to do, you just walk around the showroom looking at cars. I used to go and pop up the hoods and just look at the engines. And one day I decided, like I read an article on how, I forgot the name of that website, howitworks.com. Howstuffworks.com.
Yeah, howstuffworks. They also have, I think, a YouTube channel, like a video series also.
I think so. But I read an article about the Bugatti Veyron,
mm-hmm.
that it takes in the engine 80,000 liters per minute
of air.
Of air.
Yeah.
So that got me intrigued.
Yeah.
And I wanted to know. I had the S2000 back then. I didn't know what is an S2000. I bought it not knowing what is the car. I just wanted...
S2000 is a car made by Honda, just for the normies listening to the podcast.
So I still did not know what is Honda. I did not dig deep into what is Honda.
Yeah.
And I wanted to know, like I had the car for a while, but I never knew what was the car. I used to drive it and shift at like 3,000, 4,000 RPM, thinking that, oh, you know, I don't want to blow up the engine.
Yeah.
And then I started learning how to do that calculation that was on How Stuff Works.
Mm-hmm.
And they did not mention everything. So I had to find out a lot of stuff on my own. Like, how did they calculate 1 joule or 1 HP? Or the RPMs or whatever.
Yes.
I still have the spreadsheet if you want to see it later.
Yeah.
And now the spreadsheet, you just put in the numbers, like the how many horsepower at what torque, RPM, the peak torque and stuff like that. It will tell you how much, what is the capacity of air that the engine, let's say, takes consumes per minute.
Understood.
In liters.
Understood.
And the S2000 does around like 40,000
liters per
minute.
Yeah.
And that was amazing for me.
Yeah, like it's an unbelievable number.
It's a quarter of... Half. No, it's a quarter.
40,000, 80,000?
Four cylinders. I'm talking about
the
engine size. It's,
yeah,
it's
yeah.
four cylinders versus 16 cylinders.
Mm-hmm.
It's non-turbo versus quad turbo.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh my God, what is this car that I have?
Yeah.
And that got me more into Honda, like learning, okay, why is this car like this? Is this the only Honda car that's like this?
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, Honda love grew on me. But then that was the tipping point, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
That was the tipping point of where I started wanting to learn more and more and more. And I couldn't stop until I reached the level that I am at today. It's not the best level, but I would say that it's a good level of knowledge that I have.
Mm-hmm.
Working with what I'm building computers. Mm-hmm. Doing 3D modeling, started learning animation. I do video editing, a lot of, let's say, sound engineering, let's say. And yeah.
That's great. I will actually answer your, not your question, but when you started talking about learning about cars, I will remind you of something. Do you remember the small book that you bought about car mechanics that had, I think, an orange cover? I remember, if I'm not mistaken, that was one of the first books that
it was a gray cover.
It was gray or orange?
It was a gray cover. It was
the one.
It was mechanics or basic machines for marines, something like that. I forgot the name.
I don't remember the name, but what I remember is that it. First of all, the book went through the basic physics, okay, and the basic formulas of physics. And the biggest question that both of us had at that time is very basic questions about life. Like when you say a car is 5 liter or 2 liter, what does that mean? Why is it 4 cylinder? Why is it not 3.5? Why does it come in a certain shape? Why is it V? Why is it straight? So on and so forth. So the basic questions started off from there, I remember. And then we got to the point where we both of us got stuck at E equals MC squared. And we were like, yeah, we studied that in physics, but we can't really wrap our heads around it. One thing worth mentioning here is that I would still, until this day, thank you for telling me about Audible. You were the first person that encouraged me and gave me the first free book. This is not sponsored by Audible. If you guys want to sponsor us, it would be great. All thanks to our non-sponsor for nothing, you know. No, honestly, Audible helped me out a lot. Just like everyone else, I suffer from the problem that if I hold a book, I start feeling sleepy or I start getting bored. So the audio form helped me out. Back to the topic. So you mentioned about cars, and I believe that the reason why you moved forward in it, not because the way that you think intellectually or that you like to break things in a scientific way, but more or less that you understood the reason behind things. So when you come and tell me why is that car like so superior, let's say the Porsche, and we always used to use this joke that I think the Porsche CEO said it maybe 10 years back. He was in, I think, Geneva Motor Show, and the one TV guy, one interviewing guy, just came to him, and he was like, so how many horsepowers is the Porsche? And he told him it was like 400 or something, like it starts at that. And he was like, for maybe half the price, the Corvette or some American car gives out like 600 horsepowers. He looked at him in a very German way, and he was like, it doesn't matter how many horsepowers you have. What matters is how powerful is your horsepower. And I remember for both of us, we have had that like ring in our head for such a long time. So we came to learn many of it. I learned it through you, because I remember after duty, I used to come to the showroom, the Honda showroom, and you used to be like, you know what, on Wikipedia, I found this big formula. Oh my God, can you see what does it do? And then we would geek out about it. Now, moving forward from that point, and for the people who is watching us on YouTube, you can see the 3D background happening. So Saif learned 3D modeling from scratch, and I would dig deep into 3D modeling, but I would like to concentrate more on the I'm just gonna check if the camera stopped recording. Sorry, technical difficulties. By the way, we're having, for the people also watching us on YouTube, we're having powerful enhancement performance from our non-sponsors. Thanks for nothing also. No, but one thing, back to the topic. I'm interested to know more about the 3D rendering and what did it do to you, and how did you learn it, so on and so forth. But for a person who is learning something totally out of his field, out from scratch, in any field, what sort of method that you used, and what did you find the best way to get to the goal of getting knowledge?
Okay, so a lot of people asked me, how did I learn 3D? But like it boils down always to one thing. Do you want to learn it? or is it just a one-time thing?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I start saying that, okay, if you want to learn this, you gotta buy some online courses from people who know what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
They know how to, you know, get you from point A to B while making you understand why you're doing each step, mm-hmm. not just showing you.
Yeah, you're not just mirroring whatever they're doing.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and that the response that I get most of the time is that, why should I pay for it? You know, you can Google it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, okay, but, you know, Google does not give you the best stuff. They tell you, no, you can find everything on Google. And then I tell them, Google gives you good information,
mm-hmm.
but free information is not the best.
Not always, yes.
It's not always the best.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the time, it's not the best. I realize that the best information you can find is in books,
mm-hmm.
And paying for what you're getting. Because you can't, I can, let's say if I don't have the ability to teach,
mm-hmm.
whatever I do, you will not be able to learn from what I tell you.
True, true.
Because, like Einstein said, if you can't make a six-year-old understand it, you cannot make an adult even understand that.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's learning how to get the information absorbed in the right way. So when I dived into this, I started on YouTube,
mm-hmm.
just for the sake of, you know, let's say testing the waters.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw that I did like it, although it was intimidating. But my friend Hussein Atlasi, he's the one who introduced me to Blender, which is an open source free 3D software.
Mm-hmm.
If it's free, it doesn't mean it's bad. It's good. It's actually a good.
Yeah.
So then, just to test the waters, I started on YouTube, and I was looking at introduction courses that you see some of, and then actually you have to go and pay for the rest.
Yeah, perfect.
And I liked it. I liked the way that the guy was teaching.
Mm-hmm.
I did not continue with the same guy, but I went on to look on other platforms, and I found Udemy. I actually took one course. I did half of it. I became kind of, let's say, from basic to not moderate, but kind of, you know, in between.
A high basic.
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah.
And then I bought another basic course. And that guy made a huge difference.
Mm-hmm.
The way that he was talking, he was the steps he's going through, the way he's teaching and the methods he's using, you know, it was all for a purpose. At the end, you end up with something.
Mm-hmm.
So that now I can say that I'm in a comfortable skill cap, mm-hmm. let's say. I'm not advanced. I'm still going through that. But it's always up to the basics. If you get the basics right, everything after that's going to be easy. I'm taking now a new basic course,
mm-hmm.
that leads into animation. So, you know, I did some basics in modeling. Now I'm starting with the basics again. They will always go through the basics again and again.
Mm-hmm.
But then they will branch off to whatever they're talking about. So,
yeah. Which is animation.
Now it's animation, point. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to get a hang of basic animation to nice. Get some stuff going on.
Perfect. By the way, for the people listening or watching us, I'm going to be taking the links from Saif and I'm going to be posting them in the show notes or in the video description. So you can check those. Udemy, for the people who don't know, it's spelled Udemy, if I'm not mistaken. It's a website that has courses for everything practically in the world that you would like to learn. Saif mentioned a very beautiful point, is that he saw the video preview, or there was like a video about it on YouTube, which they usually do. Sometimes the person would be very knowledgeable, but probably you wouldn't like their tone, or their accent wouldn't be so great, or the methods that they would use might sound complicated, or they're not breaking it down enough. So it's down to your preference. Usually if you would search for a certain topic, you would find so many people talking about it. So in this case was Blender, or it was 3D. Now, this is, it might be a bit of a personal question, but it's up to you if you want to answer it. Now, when you learned 3D, do you have the intention in the beginning that it's something that you would like to make money off? That was the intention the first you learned it, or you were like, I would like to learn the skill set to probably build on it something later on that might be an income? or money was not an issue?
The initial motivation wasn't money. Mm-hmm. It wasn't that I wanted to make money off it.
What attracted you?
But I think now I can.
Yeah, no, yeah. Obviously, now you're good enough. If you're good enough in something, don't do it for free.
So. Yeah. One thing is, when you want to do something, you have to know why you're doing it. Mm-hmm. So why I wanted to do this is I want to end up, and this is still the main goal, I want to end up modeling cars. So we're nice. Back to
the
original passion.
The circle now is complete.
Yeah. So I'm using this to model. I want to end up modeling a car or modifying, let's say, my car and how it looks. Because now I'm using 3D software, whether it's Blender or I'm using another software called Fusion. Mm-hmm. That is more precise for when you want to do some 3D printing and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. To illustrate whatever I want, let's say, to someone who can build something for me. Mm-hmm. So even I have another kind of software that designs a house.
Okay.
My house, I designed it on that. Mm-hmm. And I gave it then to the consultant. And he just amended the way that he's supposed to do it with getting approvals and with the municipality.
Yeah, yeah.
But basically, it's my design.
Perfect. Perfect.
A lot of stuff, let's say, that I wanted to build, I make on 3D as an illustration. Let's say I have some laptop tables. So I designed it on 3D, and then I take it to the guy who would build it for me. And it was much easier explaining it with the illustration rather than trying to draw it and telling him how.
True, you know? True. And especially if you would be able to also color it, you'd have an idea of how it will, the final product
exactly.
would look like.
Exactly, yeah. So this is what I think is the point of making someone learn something is why. Why do you want to do it? Do you have a purpose? But for me, 3D printing is not, in general, 3D was not, the initial intention was not to make money off it.
Nice.
Like answering your question.
Nice. Now, which will move me to the next question is, since we already spoke about books, we have discussed the books that you read about cars, the courses that you've taken for learning. Now, you're a much better reader than I am. But I would give it to you that you are more diverse when you're choosing your topics. This is some sort of an ice wall that I need to break in myself. I'm so concentrating on books that talks about self-development and business. I mean, this is the only two topics that keeps my interest. Even when I was looking today at all the podcast lists that I listened to, it only revolved around that. Probably the only new topic that was introduced to it was quantum mechanics. And I was like, I need to, you know, add more colors to the podcast and to my book list. So I just started with one book today. I'm going to be discussing it later on. But the question to you is, what is a book that you're currently reading or you read that had the most impact on you and you'd like to share with us?
The number one book that comes off of top of my mind is The Four Agreements.
I was about to say it. We're both laughing because this is the book that he gifted me, the first Audible book. What was it, like 4 years ago, I think?
I think so.
I think 4 or 5 years ago. Yeah, wow.
That was the book that made me get a subscription with Audible.
Uh-huh.
Although it was cheaper than the token, but I was like, okay, you know, let me get into this. But that is the book that had a huge impact on my life. It affected me and my family.
Yeah.
Because of us trying to implement these four agreements. And obviously now we went into the fifth agreement, the second sequel to the book. But then, like, now I'm having a lot of trouble trying to finish this book as soon as I can because it's amazing. It's called Start With Why.
Yeah.
I started this last week.
Who's the author? Simon, I think.
Simon.
Simon with a funny second name. I call him Simon Snake.
Sinek?
Sinek. You know, every time Metal Gear Solid comes to my head, it's like, his name is Simon Snake, I think. But his name is Simon, so he's a very famous guy. Yeah. If Simon is listening to this episode, please subscribe. Tell your audience also to subscribe to me. Tell us about this book. By the way, I've heard a lot about it, that I'm thinking with my last token, I'm going to buy it from Audible. So
I don't want to destroy like the book for you.
Come on, man. But it's not a movie.
It talks about, you know, like instead of doing things for the what, you do it for the why. What is, let's say, the money. You're doing it for the money. You know, the why is the reason behind why you're doing it. Not because you just want money. Money is the what, let's say. And the why is why you're making it. And he keeps on giving you a lot of examples with Apple, because they do have a why. But then if you look at competitors, none of them have the personality of Apple, although I don't like Apple products, but they do have a personality. So for someone who wants to, let's say, do business the right way, okay, I really suggest that they start with this book, because it says start with why. And it's the right way, I think, in my opinion, to do anything, is that if you want to learn 3D, if you want to learn about cars, if you just want to do anything, you have to know why. A lot of people come up to me from our friends, mm-hmm, and they say, oh, listen, this is an opportunity. You know, why don't you do this? Why don't you start selling this? Why don't you do that? Mm-hmm. And then I tell them why. You know, I want to do something. Even before reading this book, it was just a matter of logic for me, is that, mm-hmm, when I want to do something, I want to do it being happy. Because I felt that when I was working with cars, I was happy talking to customers about cars. It felt natural for me. Mm-hmm. I even sold a guy a car when he didn't want a car. Mm-hmm. He said, I have a 1-year-old car, but now you made me want this car now. Mm-hmm. You know, so I like doing it. So this is a good book to start with.
Do you believe that a formula can be applied anywhere in life?
Yes.
So even like in relationships, or yes, even with... Yes, with personal, yes, decisions, it's something that it can be applied to.
Yeah, I so much believe in that while, nice, applying the four agreements.
While applying the four agreements. But I'm going to also have links to the four agreements. So to put you up to speed, the four agreements was the first book. They had a sequel, which is called The Fifth Agreement. It's a beautiful short read. It's not really big, but it had a huge impact on both of our lives. I don't know if it had to do with what we were going through in our lives. I would say we were going through same...
Almost similar.
Similar things. We were close in the same age segment. But what I'm trying to say is different scenarios, but it had the same amount of impact because each of us were able to relate to it. I've even shared it with many family members and friends, and they also really complimented the book. Again, we're not sponsored by any of this, so all thanks for nothing, again, for everyone. That will lead me to the last thing that I might wrap up this episode with. What? Okay. I'm just trying to collect my thoughts. The reason is because when you said you need to ask yourself why, many things came to my head about personal decisions and business decisions and things that we will discuss in later on episodes. But the last question that I would like to wrap up with is, what can you tell us a difficult situation you've been in? Not necessarily personal. It can be anything that you were in. How did you feel in it? And how did you overcome that difficult situation? And how did you overcome your feelings after that situation?
I don't know. I have a lot of... I go through this every day, probably. I can't find a specific one. Give me a category.
Category. Well,
I don't want to talk about work.
Definitely not work. Okay, have you ever been in a place where you had to take a decision that you did not like, but you knew it's the right decision in your life? Let's say, as an example, although I don't want to fish you the answer, but as an example, you already mentioned that when you left the corporate world for you to take the decision to study, you are like, I'm moving away from the salary, which is affording me a very good life, which I'm already in a tight situation. But you are like, I'm going to chase this degree, although every single cell in my body does not like it.
Okay, so I had a job for 3 months in a certain
company.
Yeah. This company chose me just to get their targets of the hiring.
Yeah, of hiring.
Because the HR was outsourced. So the HR just wanted to finish their, you know, target of hiring Emiratis. The job was operational. I had zero experience in it. I joined just for the sake of having a job because a lot of people, let's say, pressured me into making me feel that I need to have a job to be alive.
Yeah, there is no other way to it. Yeah,
yeah, to be accepted in society. Even today, without a job, people are, you know, kind of looking at me with a different look, with a pitiful look that, oh, he's not working. Although, to me, I think that doesn't bother me anymore because I can see the difference between, let's say, my intellectual level because of how much time I spend doing useful things rather
how
than
much
just
you grew comparison to the
exactly course. And looking at the people who keep sending me job offers and, you know, apply for this, apply for that, and I'm like, you know, whenever I tell them, for example, okay, but this job is not related to what I do, they're like, just apply for it, you need a job. And and the way that, you know, when I tell them that, but it's not, you know, it's not my field, whatever. So during that job that I took, it was a 3 month period. And like I said, I took it just for the sake of having a job, having a pay, you know, having a salary, and doing something. Like I felt that I had to do something with my life other than learning or whatever. I actually did very good in that job. And after that job, I realized that if you become a problem solver, you can work anywhere. No matter what the job is, unless, let's say, it specifically says that you need training in, let's say, you can't be a doctor in one day, you need to have training. But let's say operations, engineering, a lot of stuff you can learn if you are a problem solver. And in that job, because of my experiences learning while I was looking for a job, and how much experience and knowledge help evolve your brain, because the brain keeps building new bridges when you learn new stuff. So when we used to think that we studied like 12 years for school, they never told us why, because the people who teach us don't know why
exactly
themselves.
Exactly.
But I realized that, and after a lot of reading, that studying, no matter what you're studying, evolves your brain. It kind of creates new let's say, bridges. It creates for you new networks for you to be able to think, process, be aware. And that's how sometimes you feel that you have a sixth sense about something.
Yeah.
But it's actually your brain processes something very fast that you kind of get intuitive about whatever you want to know, whatever you want to think about, how you want to solve problems. And in that job, intuitively, I used my skills as a problem solver and solved some problems when I was, let's say, a trainee. And the people in that company thought that I was a, let's say, a high-ranked executive staff because of how I solved their problems. And at the end of almost 3 months, the contracted people who were working on a project there kept on coming to me, showing me new stuff that they were going to implement, and they wanted my feedback. here comes the challenge where I had to choose. So it was either I stay with them. There are certain stuff that I didn't like about the job, so I didn't want to stay there. And that came in a time where, you know, I took the job because I told you I just wanted to have a sense of, you know,
the routine, the money,
the routine,
income,
the money, the income, and everything like that. But then I reached to a level where I thought, this is not me. This is not what I want to do. Mm-hmm. At least not at the level that they're compensating me. You know? It comes to a point where you will kind of say, okay, you know, the money I'm getting paid is good enough, but it wasn't.
Yeah.
At the same time, I proved myself from day two in that job.
Okay.
Everyone in the company, everyone in the contracted, let's say, companies to this project said that this project will not move without me. Obviously, it would move. But what they meant is that
the pace will not be the same.
The pace will not be the same. And they already have someone established with this project. But this is what my company did not see. And when I wanted to leave, only then they were like, no, don't leave. We want you. And then I told them, you know, compensate me for what I'm giving you. I'm doing more than what I'm supposed to do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, you're giving me responsibilities of a manager, and I'm not a manager.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then they said, you know, we can't. So I had to decide, should I take this? Like, should I stay and accept it? Or just, you know, leave? And I couldn't take it. I couldn't take it. The guy told me, like, think about it. I went the next day with my resignation. I was like, no, thank you. And I was so happy the day that I stopped working there. And I went back to learning new stuff, 3D, a lot of stuff. I had to, you know, even with that experience, I learned a lot of stuff, wanted me to learn more stuff in other sectors. Whatever I do, if it's something new, I would like to go and read a little bit about it and get educated, rather than just, you know, going with the flow like everyone else.
Yeah. I would honestly, not to be sentimental here, I'm not trying to fish for any compliments or something, but to be honest, I highly understand when you would say that you would like to take another path. And I understand it's coming from a good place when the general public around you would go against you and be like, oh, you know what? No, the right way is a job. The right way is a desk job. The right way is 8 to 5 because everybody has done it. You said something beautiful. Not even the people teaching in education know why they are teaching. I feel it's more or less of an assembly line that you go through station 1 to 12. After 12, you go to university to finish 4 stations. And then you get a desk job where you report from 8 to 5, repeat some tasks until you die. And I'm like, not to look down on the people who work, but none of the people who have at any point of time asked themselves of why do I need to learn this? And I would say, I don't know, I've never discovered other communities around the world, but I can see at least from online that countries are waking up to these things and they are giving alternatives. So as an example, what I heard in the UK, I don't know if this is true or not. So after the kid finishes grade 12, the government allows you for 1 year off. So in that 1 year off, you get like a permit where you can work in the mall, in Nike, in Adidas, and whatever. So when for me, personally speaking, when I worked, while I was working, when I went back to uni, I was like, now it makes sense. Now it makes sense that the major that I took was wrong. And it makes sense that everything I studied was way, way out of my field. And it was way too late. I had only 5 subjects left. I graduated in finance, which I'm grateful for to have a bachelor's degree. It's a very nice, as I always say, expensive decoration in my living room that I never used until today. Nonetheless, I have tried to take it in a positive way that I learned other things. One last thing that if you can share your own personal input on it, what would you advise a person going through? Tough times is a bit of a general word, but I would say tough time post taking a tough decision. So in your case, after you left that job that you were excelling in and you were like, I need, my worth is not being paid here. And no, I'm not working for the money, but money is one of the compensations. So I'm neither getting the learning, neither I'm getting the recognition, neither I'm getting the pay. And you as a safe, the machine that you built yourself or programmed yourself, you can't run at a less horsepower. Like, you have programmed yourself to excel, as you said, to problem solve, which is something the vast majority of people are lacking today because they don't train it. So you trained yourself to be that type of person. So you have taken the decision to be like, no, I would rather be, quote unquote, without a job and I look for a place that I would be able to get my worth, whether by my own entrepreneurship, your own thing, or in another job. So for someone who have taken a tough decision, name it personal or work, and they are in the post-trauma period in that time, what sort of advice you would give them?
Well, first, time will pass by. Whatever you're going through, you will go through it, whether you like it or not. So you have to skip that denial stage, you know. If you actually took a hard decision, don't regret it. Because one way or another, if you never did a mistake, that means you never tried something new. This is also another quote by Einstein. And he's right. If you're doing the same thing and expecting different results, that is the definition of crazy. Another quote by Einstein.
Yeah.
So that's why I don't feel any regret on any decision that I've made until now. But the advice is always try to know why. Never do it out of, you know, when someone tells you, this is my gut feeling. Your gut feeling comes from your brain. It, like, in this book, literally, it says, when someone says, it's like, I feel it's like, you know, it's my gut feeling. Your gut feeling is controlled by, he says, it's the limbic brain, limbic part of the brain, something like that. So you have to know why. You will know why you're doing it. Just don't do it out of spite or just for the sake of doing it. And if you do it, don't regret it. Just find a new way of doing something else and why you will do it. So just don't do random stuff because you'll never know why you're doing it, and just be lost. And if you get lost, that's just another, let's say, experience that you learn from. It's okay to make mistakes, but it's not okay not to learn from your mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
So this is my advice.
Nice, nice. I think we're on time-ish. Oops, I hope that did not get picked up by the mic. Saif, thank you very much. This will be definitely part one. There will be definitely more parts to come. Season 2, episode 1 from Anas Talks. Today we had the lovely privilege to interview Mr. Saif bin Adad. I will be obviously leaving his social media posts. So he has his own page, and he has the page that he does all the computer stuff in that world. I know it's a very basic word to use. And also another channel for the car stuff that he posts. Alongside all the courses that he recommended from Udemy or whatever, I will be posting these and the names of the books. If I can remember, 4 agreements, 5 agreements, the 5th agreement, the one by Simon, Why.
Start with Why.
Start with Why. And from the next episode with Saif, episode part 2, I'm going to start with the book that I wanted to talk about, which is, this is literally the name of the book, Don't Sweat the Small Stuff. It's always about the small stuff. And I'm in chapter, I think, 2 or 3. The book sounds amazing so far. So by the time I'm going to be doing the episode number 2 or part 2, I will be I would have finished the book. So I'll be able to share with you. Saif, Habibi, thank you so much for hosting me. And inshallah, next time we'll prepare the studio with more more
you
props.
You are most welcome.
Yalla, guys, I'll be seeing you in the next one. Peace.
In the show. Oh, I can hear myself now properly. Then, Kareem Barra, I think.
Kareem, 56.